1 John chapter 2, our text, verses 7 through 11. Hear God's word. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let us give thanks for God's word and receive it with believing hearts. Congregation of Jesus Christ, as we look at John's message and we look at it in conjunction with our study in Deuteronomy, I would like to remind you that it is the same subject that we found in Deuteronomy, particularly the one passage that we read earlier, Deuteronomy 6, containing that great word that says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." The following verses in Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 8, and following, just simply explain how to put that into practice in our lives. Now, as we come to 1 John chapter 2, we find the same truth. We find it referenced in 1 John 2. And I want to highlight that fact that the unchanging word is that word which is faithful, unchanging, and true in all generations and in all time. In fact, as we sang our song, "Abide with Me," did you catch that phrase, "O thou who changest not"? There's that phrase. That means God never changes. He's always the same. He will never change in any of his declarations. He will never change in any of his expressions of love for his people. He is the unchanging God. Well, just as he is unchanging, his word that he spoke is unchanging. So even though we have been studying Deuteronomy, and I know sometimes the thought comes to our minds, this is the Old Testament. Why are we studying it? Because it is the unchanging word. It is a part of the whole of Scripture, which is unchanging. And I want to look at 1 John in the light of the fact that it not only does not contradict Deuteronomy, it puts added light onto those subjects that we're looking at in Deuteronomy, which are loving God and living in the light of that word, and walking in the path of life that God has ordained. If you were to ask Moses, how was that done? He would have referred you to chapter 6, 7, and 8 of the book he wrote. If you were to ask the Apostle John, he would not only have referred you to Deuteronomy, but he would refer you to this chapter and the verses that we're going to look at. And when we look at these verses, we find that a life that is lived for the glory of God is a life that's changed and transformed by God's power. And the demonstration of that is a life that is then lived in love. Love for God and love for the world. Now, when we say love for God, what does that remind us of? Immediately, Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what John is drawing on. That's what John then applies as he lines out these things in this passage. If you would go on and look at verses 12 through 17, he'll talk about our love for the world. But our focus will be on our love for one another, for the church, for our brothers and our sisters in Christ. For our text is simply verses 7 through 11. And these verses can be summarized with this thought: love and obedience are inextricably interwoven, because all of the commandments of God are summed up in the law of love. You shall love the Lord your God was the Old Testament's authoritative summary. Jesus taught that when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Deuteronomy 6, you shall love the Lord your God. Then he also went and coupled it with that commandment of Leviticus 19, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We're going to look at the love that God calls us to express because we are redeemed and belong to God. And John is going to teach us about what that love is all about. And he begins in verse 7 by talking about where love originates and how we ought to live. He says, first of all, this is not an old commandment. I'm not writing you something new. That should immediately remind you that he is not coming out of the blue with something different, but he's talking about something old. We could say he's talking about the Old Testament, but he's talking about it in a different way. He's going to shed light on it. He's going to open it up. He's going to expand it. But I want to underscore the fact that what he says, Moses says, it's a commandment. You know, a lot of people think that the Ten Commandments make good suggestions. God didn't say that in Deuteronomy, nor in Exodus, or anywhere else in the Bible. His commandments are commandments. These are commandments. This isn't a novelty. John uses the word commandment several times in the course of his discussion. In other words, this is not a suggestion. It is what is expected. It's as old as the Mosaic legislation. In fact, John says it's as old as from the beginning. And he says it's the message you have heard. In other words, it's from the preaching of the inscripturated word of God. It's not outdated. The command of the Old Testament is not outdated. It's not obsolete. It's not a novelty. It's not a suggestion. It's not something we can say if I choose to follow it or not. It is a commandment, not obsolete, but it is given a new look. And that new look is the new commandment John speaks of, where he then applies that commandment to loving one another. And it has, therefore, a new authority. The authority of the Jesus who came in time and in history after Deuteronomy, before John writes this, to demonstrate what love is all about. In fact, Jesus himself is the new standard by which we are to love one another. In the words Jesus himself speaks in John's gospel, he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you ever wonder, well, how do I demonstrate love to my brother, my sister in Christ, to one another? What would that look like? Just go back and look at what Jesus did. He demonstrated love, and he said, as I love you. In other words, he expects the standard of his love and the demonstration of his love to become that model that we use. How did Jesus love? Well, you can go on in John's gospel and through the other gospels, but John himself says in the 10th chapter, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus loved his disciples and demonstrated his love for us in laying down his life for his sheep. Does that give new meaning to those other words? As I have loved you? Does that mean then that we need to lay down our lives for one another? It would seem so, because he is the standard. He is the example whose obedience was the demonstration of his love for the Father and an example that we are to imitate. We are to love one another as Christ has loved us, and that love comes and flows from our hearts through the work of God, the Holy Spirit, because it is one of those factors in that passage in Galatians we call the fruit of the Spirit. It's the demonstration of that truth that we have been given a new nature. We have been given a new life in Christ. We are born again. And a part of being born again is that we are given the ability to love one another. Love is how we ought to live, John is telling us. And then secondly, The proof of our claim to be a Christian is our response to the command of love. If we want to claim that we belong to Jesus Christ, then is there a demonstration of love that gives validity to that claim? John puts it absolutely. There is no argument. He says, at the same time, it is a new commandment I am writing to you, and it is true because the darkness is passing away. Then verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. He speaks about it from a negative point of view. He says, the fraud, the pretender, claims to have light. In other words, be a Christian, be a follower of the Lord. But he fails to have love. What that does is it simply demonstrates that he hasn't got the real thing. Because Christ came to take us out of darkness into light, and one of the aspects of transition from darkness to light is that new love that's resident in our hearts, a love that cares for other people, that's willing to give oneself in sacrifice for others as Jesus gave his life for us. Of whom did John speak in this passage? Is this just something ethereal, you know, something that he's teaching abstractly? No. He is speaking to the members of the congregation, the fellowship of believers. If he were standing here today declaring this word, he would say that applies to each and every one of you who claims to know and love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The person that does not love his brother, he's still locked in the kingdom of darkness. His claim to be orthodox, his claim to be Christian, his claim to serve Christ is nullified by a life of darkness, hatred, and sin, because he's controlled by that outlook of hatred, not walking in love. The true believer exhibits the characteristic of love for God and love for others. Christians should be known by the fact that they are a loving people, that they demonstrate love, that they live by love, that they give themselves observably, palpably by love in service to Jesus Christ. And love simply is this: you do what is best for your neighbor. Jesus, of course, took that verse from Leviticus, and he said that that was the second great commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You promote your neighbor's good. I love the old Heidelberg Catechism, how it applies the commandments. And in one of the applications of the commandments, it speaks of promoting my neighbor's good, good name, good will, not speaking ill of him. Oh, we could surely apply that to our discussions on politics today. It would transform all of our conversation. It would probably have a great deal of emphasis if it applied on the television programs, and the screen would simply go blank for hours on end, because all that you hear is tearing down, hatred, vilification. But we are called to love our neighbor, not to love what he does if it's sinful and wrong, but to love him. How do you love your neighbor? Well, the greatest thing that you can do to love your neighbor is to tell him or her the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the thing they need most desperately. That's loving our neighbor. And Christians are people who love their neighbor, who know how to do what God commands them to do, and they do it because they know that they are forgiven and they are forgiving of others. Christ put it perfectly in the parable of the man who was a servant, and he got into trouble with his master. And he went to his master, you'll remember, he pleaded for forgiveness, and the master forgave him. All that great sum of money, huge amount of money. But there was another man who was a servant under that first servant. And the first servant went to him with exactly the same plea, but he took him by the throat and he said, I'm not going to let you off the hook. You're going to pay the last penny. I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to get all you have. You could just hear it. Then our Lord said, that man will not be forgiven. And he must not think that he is forgiven, for the man who does not forgive will not be forgiven. The Christian is one who forgives, who is loving. And he deals with people as God would deal with them. People should appear to you as they appear to God. In other words, your behavior towards them should be like the behavior of God towards you. And what was God's behavior toward you? While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. God shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, by bringing those who mocked him, hated him, persecuted him, reviled him, spit upon him, denied his word, and he came in love and he transformed our hearts because he accepted us not for what we are, but he accepted us, as Paul says, in the beloved who redeemed us so that he could make us his very own. This is the love that's applied by John to that commandment that we find even as far back as Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, Leviticus 19. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you see why John will go on in verse 10 then to simply say, love then reveals the character of the individual. If you want to know what someone is like, do they love? We're not talking about, you know, what you do with your grandkids, smoochy woochy, hugs and kisses. That is love. But we're talking about our attitude. We're talking about the way we deal with people. We're talking about our heart. Notice what John says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. And in him there is no cause for stumbling, but now the warning. But whoever hates his brother, see, there's something going on in the heart. Hatred. What kind of hatred takes many different forms. It's coveting, it's bitterness, it's anger, and it has all kinds of forms, but that hatred, that person is in the darkness and he walks in darkness. He doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, the claim to have fellowship with God is tested by the law of love. Do we love one another? Do we love our neighbor? Do we love each other in Christ? The response to the command simply reveals what's in the heart. And if there's an inconsistency between our conduct, how we live, and what we claim is in our hearts, our conduct is going to be that which reveals what's in the heart. The fraud claims fellowship with God but does not have love. The fraud demonstrates that his world is darkness. The fraud is one who has hatred in his heart for another. Remember the story of Cain and Abel. Cain harbored a hatred toward his brother Abel, and we know the result of that hatred. John says that if you have hatred in your heart, it nullifies any profession of faith. It nullifies your claim to be walking in the light because it demonstrates that you are governed by darkness, that you're living in sin. One author has said, surely nothing is so blind as hatred. It conceals from us our faults and the virtues of others. It keeps us in ignorance of our moral peril and indifferent to the consequences of our deeds. No one who lives under the power of hatred, no one who fails to obey the impulse of love, can claim fellowship with God. Why? He goes on to say, because God is love. We are urged to do righteousness, to manifest love. Not that we may become Christians, no. Because we already are and enjoy fellowship with God and walk in the light, hear the word of God, and know the forgiveness of our sins. The idea here is easily understood in the parallel of the marriage relationship. You love your wife because you are married, not in order to become married. And when you are married, if you're married, you love because that is what you are. If you're a Christian, you love because that is what you are. And the person who hates his brother is simply one who lives in darkness. And he may make a claim to be a true Christian. He may make a claim to live in the light. But that claim is null and void. One author has said this: I can no more hate you than I can hate Jesus. Apply that one. I can no more hate you than I can hate Jesus. See, if you hate, you live in darkness. If you hated Jesus, you didn't know him in his grace and in his love. We need to look into our own hearts. We need to ask the Lord to examine us if forgiveness exists or is lacking. If we fail in the matter of love, then we are living in the darkness. Search your heart. Do not hold anything against another. And if there's something that they hold against you, you must go to him or her and make it right. We must learn to love one another. The love we are called is more than just saying that we love. It is doing it. It is actively loving that person in and through Christ with a love that forgives, a love that is kind, a love that is long-suffering, a love that is bold, and a love that is fueled by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, who loved us when we were the most unlovely of all and yet redeemed us for his own. If you want the message of the Bible summarized, John does so here in the terms that we are so familiar with. Jesus himself used them, and our study in Deuteronomy has underscored it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that has to be lived out every moment, not just at 9:30 on Sunday, but every moment of every day for the glory of God, because he first loved you. Amen.